Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can gather and worship this morning and offer God our praise and thanksgiving for all the good things that God has done for us. And a special welcome to all those who are joining us on the live streams this morning. It is always a pleasure to welcome people from far and wide in worship. Following worship this morning, there will be a luncheon, and then the annual congregational meeting for this year will be held. So please plan to stay for this important event in the life of our congregation. Print copies of the annual report are available. Last time I checked, there were some at each of the entrances to the sanctuary here, as well as outside of the office in the main hallway downstairs. So you can pick those up whenever, as you leave the sanctuary this morning. There will be an ecumenical Ash Wednesday service held at Knox St. Paul's United Church on Wednesday, March the 5th at noon. We're trying a noontime service this year, and with that in mind, you're invited to bring a brown bag lunch for a time of lunch and fellowship following the worship service. And I will be out of the pulpit for the next 2 weeks, so you will have a respite from that dull, boring guy who stands up front most of the time. Next week, we will have welcomed Donna McElveen to the pulpit as our guest speaker, and then on Sunday, March the 9th, Reverend Mark Borgon will be with us celebrating the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And Brenda has the session summary for us.
Good morning. The session met by teams on Tuesday, February the 11th. Reverend Adams constituted the court with a prayer and reading from Luke 5, verses 1 to 11, which tells about the first disciples who left everything behind to follow Jesus. It is a reminder to us of God's power and how we should value him and adopt his purpose. The presbytery visitation took place on January the 30th. We will receive a report before it's submitted to the presbytery. Susan McDonald reported on behalf of the House Committee. A new group, Alcoholics Anonymous, will begin using the lower hall on Thursday evenings from 7 to 9. The Sixth Society will use the Caldwell Hall from 3:30 to 9:30 this Sunday for their prayer meeting. I reported that $750 had been distributed from the Sarah Malloy Fund to Reverend Adams for his RSP. In addition, $1,000 was distributed to Reverend Dr. John Dent from the Agnes Malloy Fund. Session approved the wedding of Victoria Cotman and Joel Price, which will take place at St. John's on May the 10th, officiated by Reverend Adams. Confirmation classes are ongoing. There will be a profession of faith at Easter. Session approved 2 weeks of leave for Reverend Adams. The first, a compassionate leave, will take place from March the 5th to the 12th. We extended the sympathies of the congregation to Colleen Adams and the loss of her mother on January the 24th. The second week will be April the 22nd to 29th. Reverend Adams will be in Finch next Sunday for the annual congregation meeting on March the 2nd. He'll be in Finch for communion. Session felt that the large sign outside continues to be of value. Dan Plant volunteered to be responsible for changing the messages. The committee structure of the church will be reviewed. Many teams are seeking new volunteers. Opportunities for sharing your talents with these important ministries we publish as part of the annual report. An example of what we are looking for are the mission and outreach team, offering house and technology desk. Thank you.
And thank you, Brenda. As we come into worship this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world. and that we who are his faithful followers seek to walk in his light. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. They will be like a tree planted by the water,
sending out roots by the stream.
This tree does not fear when heat comes.
Its leaves are green, its fruit endures.
So come, let us place our trust in God.
Let us live in blessed faith together.
Let us come in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, giver of blessing and judgment, you send your Son, Jesus the Christ, to embody for us true life as you have created it. Because of him, we can know you, love you, delight in you. Water us by your grace and root us in your Spirit, that our ears may hear your voice and our feet walk in your righteous paths, giving glory to you alone. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our opening hymn for this morning is number 651, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer, hymn 651, or as the words appear before us on the screen. As we draw near to God's word, we recognize that we wander and stray from God's paths. But God continually reaches out to us with mercy and love. Let us make our confession and receive God's welcome as we say the prayer of confession as it appears before us on the screen. Sustaining God, you would have us be deeply rooted in you, finding strength in your word and nourishment in your grace. More often, though, we live as chaff, blown here and there by the winds of circumstance. Forgive our lack of permanency and our failures to hold fast to our commitments. Grow in us faith that we might be firmly planted in your promises, released from sin, and open to the life you have shown us in Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, the waters of grace refresh our lives and bring forth new creation. This is the good news. In Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Once more, we join in praise as we sing hymn 203 in the Book of Praise. When Jesus the Healer passed through Galilee, and we are going to sing verses 1, 2, and then 5 to 7. So verses 1 and 2 and 5, 6, and 7 of when Jesus the Healer passed through Galilee. Of course, if you're following on the screen, the words are always right. Seated. And do I see Ainsley and Will this morning? Oh, come on. And I think you're my, oh, come on over to this side. This way, Will. Because if I go over there, I walk off of the camera. So I have to stay here. I made a promise to the guys at the back that I stay right here when I talk to you. And how are you this morning? Doing good? Excellent. That's good to hear. Yeah, just your sister and you. That's right. This morning up here, I think we're doing something slightly different downstairs, but up here this morning, we're going to talk about being blessed. Do you know what that means? It's one of those words we use a lot in church. We don't use it in a lot of other places, but what's it mean? What do you think? Well, that's an element of it. What she said was, it means you've got a whole bunch of stuff and you don't need more. You can fire that away, Mom. That's a good line. So yeah, there's an element of being blessed in that, right? When we have all when we have all kinds of things to enjoy, right? That's being blessed. Yeah. Do you know this? If you're happy and you know it, they know it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then your face is going to show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Right? Or smile, right? Your face is going to show it. That's part of being blessed, right? Is having all of that stuff, like you said, you know, being comfortable, being joyful. That's part of it, Ainsley. But then the other part is knowing it. So, like you said, having it and knowing you don't need any more, and then showing it, right? And one of the ways we show that we're blessed is by when we come into church and worship and we say thank you to God for all of the wonderful things that God has done for us. We come into church and we stand in the presence of God, and that alone is to be blessed, is to be present with God and to know that God is around us at all times, in our good times and even in our bad times. And then to enjoy in the fellowship of worship. Those are the themes that we're talking about this morning here upstairs and downstairs too. You're blessed downstairs this morning as well. Woo! But we're talking about blessing, and what everybody upstairs is going to notice this morning is that all of our readings this morning talk about being blessed. So listen to all of the different ways that the scriptures say we are blessed and what blessing means, and you'll be doing that downstairs as well. So that's what we're going to hear this morning. So that's just a teaser. Laura's going to take you downstairs this morning, and Trish will be joining you in a few minutes. And thank you for coming up this morning. It was good to see you. And as the young people are leaving through this season of Epiphany, we have been singing our prayer of illumination, and we've been singing that hymn, Over My Head. You know what? I think we're going to be daring. This is the morning, Minna. This is the morning. Minna said, you know, we should sing this unaccompanied someday because it's easy and we can all do it. And I think this is going to be the morning we're going to sing it unaccompanied. So, are you ready? Over my head, I see trouble in the air. Over my head, I see trouble in the air. Over my head, I see trouble in the air. There must be a God
reading is taken from Jeremiah chapter 17 verses 5 to 10. Those who trust the Lord are like trees. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart, to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. The responsive reading is Psalm 1, the way of the righteous. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. Delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
The next reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 20. Christ has been raised. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died.
Now, you've probably noticed that we're using last week's bulletin, since we didn't meet last week because of the snow. I've changed one hymn. As I was sitting watching somebody else's worship on last Sunday morning, this hymn came to me, and I thought, I should have picked that hymn this week. So, since I had a do-over, I have. We're going to sing hymn 650, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought, hymn number 650, or as it appears before you on the screens.
Thank you.
This morning's gospel lesson is taken from Luke chapter 6, reading verses 17 to 26. Let us listen for God's word. Now Jesus came down with the disciples and stood on a level place. With a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Disciples with training wheels on. Up to this point in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has been teaching and healing and attracting followers. And in the verses that are immediately before what we have read this morning, in the immediately preceding episode, Jesus names his 12 disciples, 12 people who will receive special teaching at the feet of the Master. And then Luke turns to what we have just heard, that Jesus, after doing that, descends from the mountain where waits for him this crowd of people. People waiting to be healed of their diseases. People yearning to have unclean spirits cast out. And others who recognized in Jesus the power to change their lives. The exact details of what happens there on the flat place by the shore are not really well known. But if you're one of those people who closes your eyes while you hear the scriptures read in worship, then maybe you pictured in your own mind Jesus kneeling beside someone to heal him. And then Jesus looking up at his newly called disciples. We can only imagine how overwhelmed they must have been with this crowd pressing in and calling out to Jesus from all sides, seeking to be saved in one way or another. And then Jesus, Luke tells us, looks at his disciples and speaks that list of blessings and woes. This glimpse of the kingdom of God. This may seem slightly off-putting to us who are 21st century readers, but to these new disciples who Jesus has just called, They would have heard these words before. The idea of blessings and woes would have been familiar to them. Several times in the Hebrew scriptures, this construct of blessing and woes appears, often as judgment against the children of God who have forgotten their responsibility to the less fortunate in their society. Blessings and woes are always a reminder of the responsibility to lift up the downtrodden and to take and not to take the blessings of the Lord for granted. In our Wednesday evening Bible study, as we've been exploring the book of Genesis, we have wondered what is the full meaning of that word we spoke of with our young people this morning, blessing. In the context of covenant and inheritance, which is part of the whole story of the blessing of the people of Genesis, what does it really mean? But here this morning, fortunately for us, the meaning is a little bit clearer. In Jesus' teaching, the blessed are those who stand in the light of God's love. Those who enjoy the presence of the Lord their God. Again, in this list of the less fortunate, the poor and the hungry, those who weep and those who mourn, we hear the promise of the angel Gabriel from the visitation with Mary that we read so many months ago now at the beginning of the season of Advent, that God is on the side of those who live on the outside of our world, that the kingdom of God for which we all long will be built up on this foundation of justice where the poor have a place, where the hungry will be fed, where those who weep shall laugh. That's blessing. The idea of woe is a little bit more difficult to understand. You see, blessing is a word that you can translate from language to language. Woe in the biblical text is not a word. It's a feeling. It is the sigh of utter disappointment. It is the wordless proclamation of Ebenezer Scrooge's ghost of Christmas future who points toward the suffering that is too great for words. That is woe. It is the acknowledgement that too often we, all of us, live outside of that circle of God's grace. Woe to the rich, because they've got it all now. Woe to those who have eaten their full in a world of want, because they will be shown their excess. So what are we to do with this text? Blessings. Blessings we can live with, but woes cut us to the quick. How will you respond when the Jesus who kneels beside the downtrodden of this world to heal them looks up at you? Jesus has come into our world to remind us of our sinfulness and the sinfulness of the world in which we live. Jesus calls us to be disciples, just like those first 12 who are named in chapter 16, if you want to go back and read their names this morning. And to cast our eyes upon the suffering of our world to work for the restoration of all people. Ever get mad at the news lately? For those maybe who didn't hear online, there was chuckles in the room. Yeah. It's a difficult period in which we live. It's easy to get mad at the news, and maybe we get mad at the news for any number of reasons, but I hope, indeed I pray, that one of the reasons that we get angry at the news that seems to dominate everything these days is the fact that what we see being played out time and again in our world and in our society is the woe that Jesus warns us about. That the powerful can lord over the powerless. And that the needs of the poor and the hungry are all too easy to ignore and walk away from. And I pray that as we see that news, that it moves within us and reminds us of our own sinfulness and the need that we have to do better in our world. To do better in our world because the kingdom of God demands more than this. For while there are many in our world who weep now, and many in our world who are hungry now, God's great vision for us all is that we shall dwell in his kingdom, in the kingdom of God, and in that kingdom there will be no more weeping. In that kingdom there is no more mourning. And in that moment we will feast at the table of our Lord. And always when we say those words, always when we talk about feasting at the table of our Lord, it is a banquet. It is the best wine. It is the richest food. It is the delight of sharing a meal with our Savior. So let us give thanks to God this day. That God calls us, and God sows within us a spirit of discontent for the sinfulness of this world, that we can go out, indeed, that we must go out and work for justice in the world in which we live, knowing that that is the work to which God calls each and every one of us. Amen. Our affirmation of faith is taken from the Living Faith document of the Presbyterian Church in Canada. This morning we read chapter 3.1, which is entitled Jesus Christ and Israel. Let us read together responsively. To the world in its rebellion and alienation, God promises blessing and restoration. The Lord chose Abraham and his descendants, and through a covenant with them, destined them to be bearers of all promise to all people. From Israel came the Messiah. In Jesus of Nazareth, God kept the promise of salvation.
We understand his coming in the light of the Old Testament.
Born of the seed of David, he lived as a Jew among Jews. Child of an Israelite woman, he fulfilled God's promise that Israel would be a light to the nations. In Christ, God came to dispel the world's darkness. Thanks be to God. Amen. There is only one Lord and God, from whom all things come and for whom we live. Let us offer our lives to the Lord as we present now our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. We praise and thank you, Lord God, for the majesty of your work, the wisdom of your word, and the generosity of your grace. Let the gifts of our lives bear witness to your goodness and mercy, your faithfulness and justice, and your steadfast love for all. We pray these things in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of light and truth, as your blessing rests upon us, may we be open to your word that lives among us, written on our hearts. May we be open to your light and your truth that guides us in every part of our daily journey with you. May we be open to your light and truth that leads us in ways we do not yet know, with companions we may not choose. May your light and truth enable us to see your unpredictable spirit alongside us, giving us courage to venture into unknown territories with you. Spirit of God, we pray for peace, not only the cessation of war in our world, but that peace which is beyond our understanding, peace that is forged when closed fists are opened in sharing, when closed hearts are opened in caring, and when closed minds are opened to the possibility for all to share in the rich resources of the earth and of all creation. God, you have equipped your church with all the gifts that are needed to build your kingdom. May we be willing to change the narrative from one of scarcity to one of abundance. May each of us seek to discern your purpose for our lives and offer ourselves willingly in service. May we harness the gifts and know the power of your Spirit as she weaves her way in and around us, changing us and enabling us together to bring good news to every generation. May we nurture one another in faith, learn from one another, and work together with you, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. For you have blessed us with every good thing. May we be a blessing to others, here and everywhere, now and forevermore. Hear us now as we continue in prayer, waiting for the day of the coming of your kingdom, as Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn for this morning is number 574, With the Lord as My Guide, hymn 574. Friends, Hear the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. When people hate you, exclude you, revile you, defame you, do not dismay. For this is also how they treated the prophets who came before you. And now may the blessing of God, Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit nourish and sustain us, surprise and reorder us, and strengthen us in faith and hope for this life and the life that is to come. Amen.